morning. So I really enjoyed your testimony. I remember people praying here for a long time for you guys. And that's really neat that what God has done. But that's just like God. He does those things. Sometimes we just don't see him so well. We need to be sure to be watching for those things. But it's really, really to hear people express that, or at least for me, just about brought tears to my eyes, man. And
I cried more in the last week and a half on half the last 30 years.
Yeah, but that's a good thing.
And then raw tears of joy.
Yeah.
Wonder and amusement, amazement. I just humbled.
Yeah.
But
that's amazing what God does in our lives if we'll let him, you know. Well, that thing made some noise, but I guess it's all right. The other thing I noticed, I don't know who makes those signs over there. Is it your wife or some?
My wife.
Your wife? Great. I love that. And I like the cross with the kind of the background really makes that stand out. But he's risen. And we just had Easter. And sometimes I want to slap myself across the face because of the depth of Easter. You know, and sometimes it just seems like it slides by without me really, maybe we pay attention to it, but without really maybe seeing the depth of it or something. This Easter was like that, and we did all the same stuff, but it's just like, I don't know if we get busy in our lives and we don't think about it maybe years as much as we do other times. But I want to show you a little thing on the computer here in a minute, but let's just stop and pray for a minute. Lord, I just pray you'd be with us here as we look at your word and see about Jesus, Lord. We need your help. The world needs your help. The church needs your help. Us individual Christians, we need your power and you just working in our lives, just like we heard about this morning in that testimony, where you did something in their lives. Lord, we hear a lot of things about your word and you and all that, but Lord, we need to have our hearts in tune with you. Lord, we need to be able to live every day walking in your spirit, Lord. Be attuned to you. Putting our trust and our focus and our energy into the things that you want to do. So, Lord, we ask for your help. And we just praise you. And we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. So would you show that little video clip that I have? It's a kid's song, okay? But it's kind of cool. They played it the other day at church. I don't remember what it was. Oh, it was on Easter, wasn't it? Eastern Sunday. Yeah, like kind of a brunch thing, and they played it. So would you put that up and show it, please?
Is where his lamb put out, but the story wasn't.
Alive. The grave's empty. He's alive. So who is this Jesus? So he's alive. What do we do with Jesus? What are we allowing him to do in our lives? Where do we go from here? Because as we know, he's alive and he ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. We're still here. What's that all about? How do we do it? What I want to do today is, I don't know if you'd call this preaching, teaching, or what, but I want us to see this Jesus, who he is, and I'm not going to read to you a lot of scriptures, some, but I'm going to give you a handout like I do sometimes at the end that you can take home, and if you'd really like to take some work to look at it. But if you really want to see about this Jesus, that's what the whole Bible is about. And as I looked at things, I was praying about what I should speak about, and I was like, encourage them. Exhort them to go on with the Lord. Sometimes we hear a lot about grace. It's not about works. We all know we can't work our way into heaven. It's by faith that we accept him. Jesus died on the cross for us. There's nothing we can do to earn it. But yet, once we accept Christ, the Bible talks a lot about, if we really love him, to obey him and to do his will. And so I think about a lot of this stuff because it seems like, this is my opinion, not yours maybe, but in my opinion, it just seems like we as human beings, it's like we don't line up with what I see in the Bible. These guys we're going to talk about today, and man, they went for it. They gave it their all. We just showed this little clip, and I wanted to encourage you to be zealous for Jesus and to not let that fire dwindle as we go along in life, because the story isn't done yet. He's left us here to go and share the word with others and to be his hands and feet. And if we just, I feel like sometimes we're dropping the ball as individuals and as churches, Christianity in general, whether it may be the universal church. And yeah, we're doing stuff. But I look at the amount of time that went by since back then, and it's like, shouldn't we have already reached the whole world? It seems like we should have by now. It's been lots of years. And I'm just like, Lord, change me. I can't do anything about you. Can't do anything about somebody else. I can do something about me. And when I read the book of Acts, and I read about people like Paul and different Bible characters, and especially in some of the stuff we're going to talk about today, I'm like, Lord, I need your strength. I need you to change me to become more like you. So, like I said, I don't know if this would be more like a teaching or what today, but if we condense down the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, I just want to just make a little statement about each one, because there's so much there, and we can encourage each other or preach or teach on different aspects, but you know, it's about Jesus. It's just about Jesus when you condense it down. Matthew, and the author was obviously Matthew, he was one of the 12 apostles. The book of Matthew was a narrative especially adapted to Jews, showing that Jesus was the kingly Messiah of Jewish prophecy. So what about Mark? Mark was the author of Mark. John Mark was. It's a brief picturesque record emphasizing the supernatural power of Christ over nature, diseases, and demons. All this divine power exercised for the good of man. So you can go to any of those books and you can pick out some things that would make good lessons for us in life or other aspects of things. But when you condense it down, it's about Jesus. And it's about giving you a picture of different, from different perspectives. What about Luke? He was the beloved physician. He gave the most complete biography of Jesus. It portrays him as the Son of Man, full of compassion for the sinful and poor. Or what about John, the beloved disciple? The narrative reveals Jesus as the Son of God, and the records and records his deep teachings. Two words that come out are faith and eternal life. They're emphasized throughout the book. What about Acts, which is sometimes called the Acts of the Apostles? The writer was Luke, and it's a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. The main theme, the origin and growth of the early church, from the ascension of Christ to the imprisonment of Paul at Rome. And I think that's why I like the book Acts so much, because I like to see what they were doing. What were they doing? What were the people doing between there? We're going to talk about it a little later, but basically, they went and they were sharing the gospel. People were accepting him. They were getting discipled, and they were going out and doing the same thing. It's about education, you might say, of the church. So the writer was, okay, I guess I did that part. So Isaiah, one of the books of the Old Testament, Isaiah had a messianic prophecies, and this prophet looked back across time, back across the centuries, and saw the coming Messiah. Of all the great Hebrew prophets, Isaiah has given us the most complete picture of some certain things: history, mission, titles and characteristics of Christ. So what about the synoptic gospels? So I'm like, I don't like that word synoptic. What's that mean? So basically, it's just saying it's a condensed portrait of Christ, or a condensed like picture of Christ. In my Bible, I can find it really quick. I don't know. I hope you guys have a good study Bible at home. Mine's got a lot of helps in it. I don't know how well you can see it, but this is a whole lot of pictures, and it's about just what we're talking about. It views Christ in pictures. And it's like Son of God, Son of Man, Water of Life, Light of the World. It just gives us a little picture, kind of picture form. And it just helps us better understand about Jesus. Or at least it does me, because it kind of shows you these pictures, and then it talks about him a little bit. And so what's it talk about in there? So in Matthew, it brings out that he is the kingly Messiah. He's called the King 8 times. He's called the Son of David 9 times. The word fulfilled is used in Matthew, and it indicates the prophecies were fulfilled in him. So you had the prophecies from those Old Testament, and now they're fulfilled in Jesus. Another thing you can do if you have a study Bible is you can look in the back. Mine's got a part about all the prophecies about Jesus. And there's several pages of them, so I can't cover them today. But if you have a study Bible, you can probably find some things in that that would help you to see the prophecies. Like the way mine's set up, it tells a prophecy, it shows the fulfillment, shows you where it is in the Word. And that's a real encouragement, I believe. So Matthew was the kingly Messiah. In Mark, it showed the wonder worker, the miracle worker, and the tireless servant of God and man. It demonstrates his divinity and compassion by his mighty works of mercy and help. You guys were talking today about the clothing thing, and you were talking about like a gardening kind of thing and stuff. Sometimes we think those kind of things are just physical things and don't maybe mean a lot. They do mean a lot, because you get to talk to people that are not here. They're outside the church. You get to rub shoulders with people that maybe don't know Christ, or maybe have heard about him but have never accepted him. Most of us in America have heard a little bit, but if we haven't really considered it, you get to maybe encourage them. I look at it like planting seeds, okay? We're not all going to get to lead somebody to Christ every day, but we can plant seeds every day, and we can do that by not just what we say, but what we do. Because I know a lot of Christians, there again, grace is grace, and we need that. But I'll tell you, some of us Christians, the things we do speak more than what we say. And I think it's important the way we live. I think it's important to do the things you gals were talking about, because you can reach people and you can plant seeds in their lives. Hopefully later on somebody come along and water it. Later on somebody comes along and there's a harvest. Because we can sit in our churches and not reach out to people and just live our lives, and you know, Jesus is going to come someday and take us home. But we do believe this stuff, and do we see who he really is to the point that we live our lives wholeheartedly for him? No matter what we do or where we're going, whether it's a work or play or whatever, do we live it for Jesus? Do we look for the opportunities to share Jesus with others? Or do we go home from doing something and say to ourselves, oh man, I should have said something about Jesus. I had the opportunity and I didn't take it. And I want us to be people that will look for those opportunities, and that Christ will be so alive in us and we'll be so zealous for the Lord that we will take those opportunities. And I don't mean cramming it down their throat, but loving people and just watching for those opportunities. Watching to see what happens, like happened to you guys. That was a struggle. It was a big struggle for you. And I felt for you guys. I'm like, what if that was me in that situation? And a lot of us might have already been there at one time or another. Whether it was that situation or like Bob, your situation. We all go through struggles at times. Do we see when God answers those prayers? And he does something really cool in our lives. And then it takes guts to stand up and say something. But it's an encouragement to all of us. So when God does some things in our lives, do we tell other people, our friends or neighbors, whoever it might be? Do we acknowledge God, or do we just say, oh yeah, I was lucky, you know? So I think we have a lot. I know that I got a lot to learn on those kind of things. And I'm sure that we all probably have. Going on, where was I at now? I kind of got off of here. Mark was the wonder worker. Oh yeah, there it was about works. Okay. Luke brings out how Jesus was a friend of sinners and outcasts. Maybe you know people that, I've seen this before, and we go to the nice people, okay? We go to the ones we like, you know, or whatever. But who did Jesus go to? He went to the sinners, he went to the tax collectors, he went to the down and outers, we might say. You know, I don't know about you guys. We used to go down to the mission in Spokane years ago. And you still see, when you drive down there, you see homeless people. That was really hard for me back then. I don't think it'd be so hard for me now. But we tend to go gravitate towards people maybe that are not in those situations. But when we take a look at Jesus' example, that's who he went to. The friends of sinners and outcasts. And in Luke, it brings out that he came to seek and save the lost. That scripture's in Luke 19:10. He came to look, to seek and to save the lost. He came to me. And I hope he's come to you. Probably has to most of us in here, if not all. But Luke is full of other stories about him, about Jesus, in the book of Luke. And like I said, I'm not going to take the time, of course, to look those up right now, but I hope that you would take the time throughout the week or something. So what's John? John's picture of Jesus. John's portraits of Christ. Each chapter of the Gospel of John contains or portrays some special aspect of the character or work of Christ. I'm only going to touch on a couple of them because, again, a study Bible is really nice because it shows me some of those things in a study thing in the back of it. So, because we couldn't look up all these things today, so you would need a study Bible to look at them. I'm only going to bring out a couple. But he's the conqueror of death in John 20:11-17 and Revelations 1:18. He's the giver of the Spirit in John 16:7-15. He's the great intercessor in John 17. He offers his intercessory prayer for the church. What about Paul's? How does Paul picture Christ? In Romans, we see that he spoke about a peacemaker in chapter 5, verse 1. Judy, I see you writing there, but I'll have that handout, I'll have this stuff in it if you want, because there's a whole lot of it. So in Romans, we see him as a peacemaker. In Corinthians, the Lord of glory in chapter 2, verse 8. The only foundation in chapter 3, 11. The sacrificial lamb in 5, 7. The conqueror of death in 15:24-26. In 2 Corinthians, the image of God it talks about in chapter 4, verse 4. In Galatians, it shows him as a liberator in chapter 5, verse 1. In Ephesians, the goal of character. In other words, you can see his character in chapter 4, verse 13. In Philippians, he's the supreme prize of life's struggle in verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 8. In Colossians, he's the head of the church, chapter 1, verse 18. In Thessalonians, he's the coming Lord in chapter 4, verse 16. In Timothy, he's the blessed and only ruler, chapter 6, verse 15. In 2 Timothy, he's the judge of all men, chapter 4, verse 1. In Titus, he's the redeemer, chapter 2, verse 14. In Hebrews, and it's commonly accepted that Paul wrote Hebrews, but some disagree with that, I guess. But I think Paul probably wrote that. And anyway, he's the author of our salvation in chapter 2, verse 10. He's a great high priest in chapter 4, verse 14. He's the author and perfecter of our faith in chapter 12:2. So then what about, so I hope you're getting a picture. I'm taking some of these Bible characters and we're seeing a picture of what they saw. I'm telling you about what they saw. So Peter's portrait of Christ was that he's the Son of the living God, Matthew 16:16, the only source of truth, John 6:68. He's the shepherd and overseer of our souls, 1 Peter 2:25. So then, what about an apocalyptic portraits of Christ? So what's that word mean? So it's a prophecy. So it's the scriptures are from Revelations. They're John's prophecy and Revelations. So it shows him as the faithful witness, Revelations 1:5. Shows him as Alpha and Omega, Revelations 1:8. Shows him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelations 5:5. The Lamb in Revelations 17:14. The Word of God, Revelations 13:19. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Revelations 19:16. I question whether I to do this way, because it's like I'm giving you all this list of all this stuff. But just reading what I've done so far, I get excited about it. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And one day he's coming back to get me and take me to go be with him. That's exciting. He's the man that, or not the man, you might say, man when he was on earth, but he's the one that just provided some land and a trailer for that man right back there. He's the man that's going to take care of Bob's situation, which was not a good deal, but it'll all come out in the wash. He's the man that will help me with my cancer, whether I die and go be with him, like Paul said, that's better, or whether I'm here on earth. I'll tell you, I don't like cancer. It's a bad thing, but I'll tell you what, God has allowed me to witness and encourage so many people as I went through some of these treatments that it just amazes me. And he just keeps putting these people in front of me. I go down there to take these treatments and all these people are sitting in there. And I'll tell you, they'll let you talk about Jesus. I know it's hard to speak up and say stuff about him. Everybody's sitting there and they're not saying nothing because they don't know what they're doing to you when you go in there, and it's not fun. But I'll tell you, they'll listen. There's more people that will listen out there than we can even imagine. I mean, I look at all the opportunities God's given me, and I'll tell you, it's very little that I've ever ran into much. There is. People might make fun of you or something, make joke about it or whatever. But I'll tell you, most of the time that don't happen. Because there's people out there that are searching, just like you and I did before we accepted Christ. And some of them are probably just as hard-headed as I was, because it took me a year before I actually yielded my life to Christ. And I thank him for that. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done in me. Keep it up, Lord. Don't let me become complacent. So that then there's prophecies and their fulfillment. I'm only going to cover two of those. So if you want to study this out in the notes, I'll just tell you now, you'll need a good study Bible to look at that and find those in the study Bible. But it talks about Jesus' resurrection in Matthew 28:9 and in Luke 24:36-48. It talks about his ascension in Luke 24:50-58 and in Acts 1:9. So then what about I wanted to cover to the post-resurrection, what would you call it, appearances of Christ. Because in the flesh, we can say, hey, this was impossible. You know, it's impossible. And people will tell you it's impossible. People will tell you all kinds of stuff. They took his body. They did all kinds of stuff. So I just, when I was out in the hallway there, you guys had this little, what do you call these things? A little track. Yeah, a little track. And it's called the evidence. It's laying, they're laying out there if you'd like to have one. In the hall there on the table. Covers a lot of stuff. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Talks about hundreds of eyewitnesses. Enemy eyewitnesses unable to refute the fact. His followers would die for a known lie. All these people were talking about, they went out and told people about Jesus and spread the word and started churches and all this stuff. Would they go through that if it was a lie? I mean, we don't even do it when it's the truth, you know, let alone. I doubt they would. Talks about the rapid spread of Christianity. Talks about the reliability of the New Testament. Talks about fulfilled prophecy. Brings up the question, did his followers steal the body? Maybe Jesus wasn't really dead. So it helps understand some of those things. So I think it's important to look at those post-resurrection appearances. So on Easter Day, one of the appearances would be to Mary Magdalene in Mark 16:9. Talks about other women that witnessed it in Matthew 28:9. Talks about Peter in 1 Corinthians 15:5. Talks about two disciples in Luke 24:15-31. And in the garden, he appeared to 10 apostles in John 20:19-24. And Sunday morning following Easter, he appeared to 11 disciples when Thomas was present. John 20:26-28. In Galilee, he appeared to 7 disciples fishing, John 21:1-14. Jesus charged to Peter in John 21:15-19. Appeared to 11 disciples in Matthew 28:16-17. So those were to a lot of his disciples and those that were close to him. But here's one that says he appeared to 500 brothers in 1 Corinthians 15:6. And then he appeared to James in 1 Corinthians 15:7. And then on Ascension Day, there was 11 apostles, talks about in Acts 1:2-9 as he ascended. There was 11 apostles there. And then later appearances, you might say, would be Saul or Paul. And it's in Acts 9:1-6 and 1 Corinthians 15:8. We got this little card, if I can find it in my junk here, on We got this little card at, that ain't good. Is that Lunch Bunch? Yeah. Yeah, it's lunch. We have a thing called Lunch Bunch at our church. Here it is. It's like a lunch for like people over 50. They do it once a month, have a little program somebody will share. It's Jesus Lives. And on the back of it, it says this. The wonderful message of the Bible is that Jesus lives. After Jesus died on the cross, becoming the only sacrifice for sin, he rose triumphantly from the grave. Now he offers the free gift of eternal life to all who trust in him. Matthew 28:6 says, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. John 7. Romans 10:9. So if we confess with our mouth, talk's pretty cheap. I know a lot of people say, oh yeah, I know there's a God. Satan said he knew Jesus too. You know, talk's cheap. It says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So what's believing mean? They used to have what altar calls. You don't ever hear anybody doing that anymore, hardly. And I'm like, what's wrong with this? You know, we need to call people out at times. But you could go up and you could pray at an altar and you could say the words. How do we know if we really believe? I don't know how your experience went, but I was walking this way in sin, and when I asked Jesus to forgive me and come into my heart and life, I turned away from sin. That's what the Bible talks about, turned away from sin, and I walked this way with Jesus. And I've tried my best to do that. Since that time. Well, how much does obedience to him mean? And when we say we believe, did our heart change? Did we change from going that way? Now we're going that way with Jesus. Because the Bible tells us that all things are going to become new. And it tells us, I had it wrote down somewhere, I don't know if I see it right here. I don't see it right there. Maybe I didn't write it down. It talks about, if you love me, you will obey. Obey him and obey the word. And I'm like, Lord, I need your strength and your power to walk with you every day. Because I can't do it on my own. But Lord, I want to be a good witness for you. When people see me, I want them to see Jesus in me. It talks in the Bible about of being like a city on a hill that's lit up. When you go to Spokane at night, you get close down there and you see this big dome of light. I don't like it, but I can see it, you know. You see this big lit up at night, lots of light down there. So when people see us, do they see Jesus in us? I think about those questions that I brought up a minute ago, don't see them right now either, but Jesus rose and he went back to be with the Father. What are we supposed to be doing here? So where do we go from here? Jesus is risen. He's alive. He left us with the Holy Spirit. Well, he didn't leave us with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit came and gave people power to be witnesses for him. He told us some commands. There's several places that it talks about in the Word. Some of them in Luke, and one I want to read. It talks about it in Luke 24:47. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached to all the nations. Verse 48, you are witnesses. Verse 49, going to send the Comforter. Verse 49 also, clothed you with power. And then he left. That's just before the ascension, and he ascended. I want us to read Acts 1 through 11. He talks about right there in I want you to ask yourself, what do we do now? Okay, what do we do? And that's why I love Acts, I think, because it's after Jesus ascended, and now what do we do? And it tells what all those people that we were talking about here this morning, what they did. But it goes like this, talking about Jesus being taken up. In my former book, The Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions, so I asked myself, what were those instructions he gave? And it had a variety of things there. If you have a study Bible or a Bible that gives you some little things on the note, other scriptures to look up, I'd encourage you to do that. He was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So there's another thing. Jesus' appearances that we read or looked about a little while ago, they were over a 40-day period. They weren't like the next day and that they never saw him again. It was over 40 days. This year again, 40-day period, and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? To them, we're looking for this worldly kingdom, okay? But that wasn't what he was talking about. So he says, Father has said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So, you know, some of the things that he's talking about, what I'm kind of encouraging you about today, is to go into all the world, preach the gospel. Matthew, I think it's in 20, well, I better not say. It's in the end of Matthew anyway, 28, I think, something. I want to encourage you and exhort you to go on from Jesus is risen. And I want to encourage you to read the book of Acts and these other scriptures that somebody could pass those out, Teresa, if you now, to take the time to go over that stuff. And it's not something you're going to do in one little while. It's something you're going to, it's going to take you time to do. But ask yourself, what happens from that point on? And I think we can learn from what happens from that point on, and it gives us an idea of what we should be doing now. And so, see, I think I had one thing on here that I wanted to share. Yeah, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. "Go to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded, and to make disciples and stuff." So who is this Jesus? Is he really alive? What do we do now? And so let's just close in a word of prayer. Lord, we need your help to be obedient servants of you, Lord. Be your disciples. We need your strength and your power at work in our lives. Lord, I want to pray for each of us, Lord, that we would really wholeheartedly serve you, and that we would serve you with zeal, Lord, and a fire within us, because, Lord, I look at this stuff and it sets me on fire, because it set you on, it set those people that we looked at, Lord, on fire. And they went out and they won many souls for you, Lord. They established churches. They did stuff like we heard about this morning in this thing. They started things, Lord, that would point people to you. Give us ideas, Lord, how we can do these things. Help us, Lord. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be like that light on a hill. Lord, we need you badly. Work in our lives, Lord. Pray for those that haven't been, aren't not here today, Lord. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they've had other things they had to do. Be with them, Lord. Work in their lives too. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you are a risen Savior. And the Lord, you touched us. Thank you for your great gift of salvation, Lord. Go with us now. Help us in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.